A65. Number 17B.
All right, we go further to Christianity in Absolute Christian Science. Well, what is Christianity? See, perhaps you can check more on my way of thinking. See, I say, what is Christianity? I didn't say, now let's go on to Christianity. The moment I say Christianity, I knew I touch another category. It's the word Christ, now Christianity. And the moment I say, let's go on to Christianity, I ask first the category, what is Christianity? See, I at once established first the place value of this question within the whole system, so that I don't just rattle on something about Christianity without really talking about Christianity, because I haven't put it into the right category. I first think about the category and say, where is that Christianity? Oh, Christianity is that which is the outcome of the Word and the Christ. It's the outcome of the Christ. And so I give already a place value, and if I do that, then I know that I have to stick to that category in order not to mix it up with all kinds of things. So always when we go to a new category, we say, so what is Christianity, we ask, and say, it's the outcome, and that already gives me the answer for the synonymous terms. Because if it says it is the outcome, I know what is the outcome on the level of Absolute Christian Science. It's always idea. See, the accent shifts now to the idea. We said Absolute Christian Science is that relationship principle towards idea. So if I have here the outcome of that level, I know the outcome is idea or man, and I know that man cannot be symbolized through a synonymous term. I can only symbolize the outcome through its origin. But not the outcome itself, is not a capitalized term. And that gives me the answer why here you don't have truth in it. That in Christianity you only have life and love and not truth. Because truth from the Christ has been translated down to idea. An idea is not a synonymous term. Therefore, we can almost symbolize that through a synonymous term. So the only thing we can do, actually, is to symbolize the origin. And the origin, naturally, of the Son is Father and Mother. So we can only symbolize man or idea through the fatherhood and through the Motherhood of God. And so we have there only life and love in that category. Can you see that? I mean, here again, the student who does not really see through that whole chart and only looks at it with his eyes and with a little bit of a knowledge that that being has to do with life, truth, and love. He says, why on earth do you leave out truth? Isn't Christianity truth too? Why do you leave it out? So we have to know the reason why. Because the reason why is that at the point of Christianity, or in the focal point, is man, not God. But man is not an entity per se. It has not its, he's not an origin of himself. He's the outcome of the of an origin, but that origin is father and mother. So we have life and love. Yes. Clear? Clear as mud, huh? No? Clear as the sun. Good. Yeah. Therefore, can you also see the practical application of it? When we ask here in Absolute Christian Science, what is man? Huh? We say we only know so much about man as we know about God. Therefore, man is idea, and its origin is the everlasting father, or let's say it's the impulsion of life, the constant creative impulsion of life, the constant support and maintenance of life. It's the constant provision of life. So we go to the creative sense that lies behind the outcome behind man, and we get a very great sense, really, of life as eternal impulsion of life that is now. I have to be careful what I say. You see, when I say it's eternal impulsion, that is naturally the word. Huh? But when that father as eternal impulsion is caring for man, then we find here in life all those qualities which the father needs to have to support the man, support the idea. Now, alone with the word, you can't do that, alone with the impulsion of life. We must have all those qualities that are related to man, like life that maintains the idea or maintains man, life that conserves man, life that feeds man, life that provides all for man, supplies man, gives everything to man, upholds man, sustains man, did I say supports man, that promotes man. Can you see? They are all qualities of life that have only a value in the relationship of principle to idea, to maintain the idea. Yes? Whereas, then on the other side, love, the motherhood, must show all those qualities that are necessary that the idea is being eternalized, that the idea never disappears, is never destroyed, is never wanes away. Can you say wanes away? It never fades away. So that it is eternalized. What has love to do so that the idea is not endangered? Huh? So we get all those wonderful mother qualities here, which says, well, love preserves man. Huh? Love mothers man. Embraces man, encircles man, embosoms man, contains man within its embrace, nurtures man. We have all those qualities of love, accepting man, welcoming man, the qualities of appreciating man, appreciating the quality of man, protecting man. Here you have a protective sense, that love protects, that love cares, that love cherishes, tends man, that love has anticipates the promise of man, sees already the fulfillment of man, sees its purpose, accepts that purpose. Can you see the mother qualities? So that you have these two great synonyms, one as the father that constantly gives, huh? And the mother sends that which is given conserves it and braces it, tends it, so that it is eternally protected. Yeah. Yeah? Capito? Capito. Mm-hmm. Now, naturally we must be careful not to think about life and love as something outside of us. You know, as a deity that sits somewhere on high, huh? And looks down on us and supports us and cares for us. But that it is a consciousness that we have, because here the accent is on man, on the true consciousness, and so it really says to ourselves, well, that must be your state of consciousness. Your state of consciousness is that you sit down and say, now, am I standing alone? Do I have to look after myself? Do I have to put up a terrific fight to sustain myself, to maintain myself? Do I have to put up a terrific fight to protect myself? What shall I do so that I feel loved by God and the universe? See, this is the wrong question. This is a question that somebody asks when he feels that he is an isolated being, an isolated being. But the moment we see that man is actually only the idea that has come forth through the Christ translation, then we nurture within ourselves the quality of life and love. Then we begin within our consciousness to give to ourselves, to give to our true being, to our true sonship, to our true manhood. We give, we are a father to it and give everything to it. We support in our consciousness the fact that we are the Son of God. We maintain within ourselves constantly that we are true men. We constantly, so to say, overflood our whole being with all the qualities of God. We flood it, and therefore we attribute everything to us. We project all that God is to our sense of manhood. Can you see? This way we father ourselves. And at the same time, we entertain a consciousness of motherhood. That's usually that which we seldom do. It's an interesting thing that we as human beings are much more apt to express fatherhood than motherhood to our true selves, much more. And this is something which usually we have to culture. Do we actually love ourselves, our true manhood, our true being? That would be motherhood. Do we actually see that we embrace our true being as being perfect? Or is our love to ourselves something that is more of a religious sense that says, it will be all right with you, you know, you will come out all right. So all those nice things which we would say to a human person, whereas here it is the true sense of love where we just see the beauty of ourselves. Does anybody see the beauty of himself? The greatness, the bigness of ourselves, the bigness of what we are, the holiness of what we are. Does anybody see that? Mostly say, oh, don't go too far. Huh? It's all right that I like to establish what is right, because it isn't established. Huh? And we are right off the track. So it takes something to love our mission. Do you love your mission? Or do you say, I have no mission, I failed anyway, have anyone anyway gone off the track? Or do you love your mission? Do you love your future? Do you love the greatness of manhood within you? Do you see the beauty of manhood within you? All these things. That would be a motherhood in absolute Christian Science, where we go out from perfection, that man is perfect, that man has a mission, that he has a great mission, that the idea is great and not small, and then mother it, care it, love it, accept it, welcome it, accept the biggest, accept the anticipate the promise of it, and not say it's in the future, it's now. It's one of the most difficult things for the human mind to do. Not for the divine mind. For the divine mind it's easy. So, let's see that we culture that too. And in this way, what do we do? What does that law do? We can see that it is, so to say, the law of eternalization. It not only projects through life, the true idea of man into being, but it also takes love to keep that idea intact and perfect and unharmed, and therefore it is, so to say, the law of eternalization. So we eternalize our true being, our true sense of manhood, by constantly showing that fatherhood to ourselves and the motherhood to our true self. Yes. Then we come to the next one, namely to science, in absolute Christian Science. And this again is an interesting combination. We have here truth and love. Again, the student can come and say, but why isn't it life, truth and love? Why should you drop life now? You have already dropped truth before, so you go on and drop even one more and pick up the truth again. So what are you doing here? Well, again, we have to see the place value. The moment you think in categories, things become easy. You see, a student that asks you that question, he does not know the categories, or he wouldn't ask that question. As he doesn't know the categories, he's entitled to ask that question, but he will never find an answer. And if he tries to find an answer, he just makes up something. But we have to know that it is not possible to have the accentuation of life in that column of science in absolute Christian Science. Why? Where are we? We are at the point, or on the level, of absolute Christian Science, where the relationship is from principle to idea. The category of the vertical of science is the category where we show, or which shows, what are the facts of being. Science has to do with the facts and explaining the facts of being. Science, therefore, at this point, never creates facts. Science is always dealing with facts and not with creating facts. But life, on this level, you see, must always have a sense of projection. Because it's an absolute Christian Science from principle to idea, it has a sense of projection. Do you see that? In the Word, life was the projection, was the impulsion, back and forth, projecting into being something. Life in the Christ was that projection. We projected the truth, the one truth, to the individual truth. So it was again a creative sense, namely bringing out the specific truth. Isn't that so? And in Christianity, life also had that sense, in a Christianity sense, namely that life was shown, life is supporting the idea. Can you see? It's always a relationship. Supporting the idea is providing the idea, is feeding the idea, is giving everything to the idea. So it was, always had a sense of creative impulsion. Well, when we come to science, which has to do with the beingness of being, you can't have a creative sense of life in it. Because no science creates new facts. Every science takes the facts that are. Isn't that so? So, because life on this level has always some kind of a creative aspect, of an impelling aspect, of an aspect of relation, of principle to idea, we cannot have life on this category of science. Because what does science say? Science says these facts or these ideas that are established and eternalized through the law of Christianity, these are facts. These are facts. Well, facts is expressed through truth. Truth is factual, are the facts. So you have truth and no more life, because the facts do not need to be brought into existence. And it is love, because it must show that these facts are absolutely all-embracing, are already at the point of being complete, of being already perfect, of being already, can you hear, already perfect, already whole, already established. And you can say, because I know all the arguments, so you can say, but if you say already, isn't that life? Isn't that life? I would say, yes, already is life. But that's life on the level of divine science. Not on the level of absolute Christian science. On the level of absolute Christian science, we have seen, it's always the creative sense that must be brought out through the synonymous term life. Some kind of creative sense. Do you follow me to this point? Therefore, we have here only truth, the facts, and those facts are already at the point of absolute completion, love. They are not to be brought into being. So actually, if at that point we would call it life, truth, and love, we would be contradictory in our statement. We would say through life they are being brought into being, but they exist already in love. See? So Mr. Zeddy uses, therefore, that rendering truth and love so often in the textbook, namely every time she wants to bring out to say, yes, the thing is that actually on absolute Christian science, the Word, the Christ, and Christianity say, I bring everything into existence and maintain it there and preserve it there. But science comes along, because science is that link which spirals us up higher, and says, but these facts were always there. They had never be brought into existence. They answer, so to say, the first three, by showing that they were not actually created, but they were always, and therefore gives the link from that level to the next level. So here we have the law that says that everything from time immemorial, was always at the point of perfection and completion. We have called it sometime in the terminology of Leibniz. Yeah, I think it was Leibniz. That was bringing out the term of the pre-stabilized harmony. And I couldn't find a better word for that law, because it's a law that says perfection was always there. Though it seems that we have to bring out perfection, factually it was always there. And he created that wonderful terminology of the pre-stabilized harmony or pre-stabilized perfection, which says, now you see, before Abraham was, I am. That gives that sense. That the I am-ness, the facts of being, the perfect facts of being, have never been created. They were before Abraham. Before Abraham would say they were since time immemorial, because everything started with Abraham. So for the Jews, when something was before Abraham, it was not in a time sense anymore, it was in the eternal reality. So we get that sense for ourselves too, that we feel at that point that what we are has always existed since time immemorial. So there is no necessity for the impulsion of life anymore. So life is out. It's only truth and love. And completes and rounds up that whole level of absolute Christian Science. Are we quite sure that before Abraham was, that I am? Are you quite sure you live and move and have your being in God, in the one being? Or do you still feel that we have to work out that hell of a body and that hell of a death, and somehow we may do it, but I think we may not do it. It's too big. Or do we have that law and think about it? It just takes a few years, you know, to accustom oneself to that law, and to get that terrific feel, the I am-ness is since time immemorial. So there is no necessity to be born, there is no necessity to live in a body, there is no necessity to die out of a body, and there is no necessity to live after death. It's anyway only one life. So you are really triggered up, catapulted up, to the level of divine science, where you start with one word, life. Okay. And we'll take the law of interdependence.